I was thinking about that moment when everything is done and we are standing before the Lord. How nothing else will matter. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying nothing matters, right? You understand what I'm saying here. But nothing else, everything else that ever concerned us, everything else that ever weighed on our soul will just be dwarfed by the glory and goodness and the awareness of the faithfulness. And like, you really did have everything under control. You really knew what you were doing. I really had nothing to worry about. Everything is and will be forever okay. And where my mind went was, really, that's true right now. And it's like maybe a mental leap a little bit, because we know, yes, we're in that already not yet. And yes, there's still work to be done. There's still all of the things that aren't the way that they should be. But the reality of that hope, that assurance that we have of that moment that begins forevermore, it's all as good as done now. And the work we within the reality we get to do in light of that, we get to do within the reality of all of that. We get to do it with an awareness of his presence that can even now give us that same sense of, even while we work, even while we strive, even as we make every effort to do all of the things, we get to do it with the freedom of knowing that it's all by the faithfulness and loving kindness and mercy and love of God pouring on us and through us. We get to participate in his work, but it's not on our shoulders to make it happen. He's doing that. And that is so, so freeing and beautiful. So I hope that is even as remotely encouraging to you as it is to me. But over the last number of months, this is going to be really familiar. We've seen these slides. We're talking about our personal formation into the image of Christ. We're talking about how we do that and the labors of community, called to be the family of God, and how we engage in the mission of God in our individual lives as a collective body. And we have been talking about and we'll continue to talk about all of these things, and not even just these individual practices and spiritual disciplines or whatever terminology we may use to express these things, but just gonna keep popping this up. And then maybe a month or month and a half, some point early summer, we talked about the idea of a rule of life, and we used that Sunday as kind of a homework session. You guys started processing through that, and we had this example up here of just potential idea of what a really basic rule of life might look like, a way of on regular rhythms, daily, weekly, monthly rhythms, incorporating spiritual practices into our lives, not because these are ways that we earn approval from God, or we try to manufacture or engage in some kind of spiritual self-help, self-actualization project, right? This is not what this is all about at all. This is about putting ourselves, orienting ourselves in a way, in a posture that orients our gaze to the Lord, because we become what we behold. We become what we behold. And when we intentionally, regularly engage in practices that involve our whole body, soul, spirit, mind, These things form us. These things shape our thinking and feeling and being one degree by another into the kind of people that Jesus is calling us to be and forming us to be himself. And so we looked at these, and all of these currently are all kind of structural. I'll read the paper. I threw that one in there. That was kind of like a nod to, not all of these have to be like the traditional spiritual disciplines that we typically think of. But today I want to take another step in hopefully giving you a tool to think about how you most naturally connect with God. And throughout the course of those various talks, I talked about the concept of downstream practices versus upstream practices. An upstream practice is something that, when we think of the word discipline, a spiritual discipline, something that is an upstream discipline for us is like, it's work. It's something like going to the gym, and I feel like after I do it, like I have gone to the gym. Like I wake up the next day, and I'm like, okay, I did something. I feel it. Like and sometimes it doesn't always feel good either. Sometimes it's like, man, what am I doing to myself, right? But it's that idea of, okay, I know this is good for me, and I have to use my will to intentionally decide, yes, I'm doing this because I know it's the right and best thing for me to do. I know I need this, and so I'm putting in the effort, right? That's the discipline element of some of these. But a downstream discipline is like, I'm like on that tube. I'm just floating down that river. I'm enjoying the scenery. I am just at rest. I am loving this. This is life-giving for me. It doesn't feel like I'm working. It just feels like I'm soaking in God's good gifts for me. And when we talked about the idea of crafting and putting together a kind of rule of life, we talked about the importance of really, however this looks like for you, you kind of want a good portion of your spiritual practices not to be upstream disciplines, because that will wear you out and discourage you. You need downstream disciplines that are just the ones that you naturally just fall into where you connect with God. That it's not going to feel like work, but you still have to intentionally plan to do them. Because even things that we love to do and things that energize us and are just, man, invigorating for us, that does not mean we automatically incorporate them into our lives, because we don't always do the things most naturally that are actually best for ourselves. We're just human, and we just don't think about it. One of the most natural ways for me to connect with God is to be in nature. And I know, man, I need to get out and like be in nature, like in solitude on a regular basis. And I have that written on my own rule of life. And guess what? The last time I went for a walk by myself in the woods on purpose, it was like too long ago. It was probably a month and a half ago. And I have that on my weekly list, right? It's like it's just so easy for me to put other things before that, even though I know, man, if I just get myself in those woods, it's gonna be so good for me. But the getting there sometimes is just so, so tough. I have to make that happen, right? So what we're going to do today, this is going to be kind of like I don't even know what the word for this is. It's not homework, but it's an active project for everyone to participate in together. We're going to talk about, on this next slide, I think I just have the title of it here. It's called Sacred Pathways. Ooh, nice, super small font I put on there for you to really focus in, you know, and think about it. A guy, I think his name is Gary, I think it was Gary Thomas, he wrote a book called Sacred Pathways, and it's about these, he talks about these nine different types of people, really. But it's people who all of us find ourselves most naturally connecting with God and like, man, when I'm doing this, I'm just in that stream. I am aware of his presence. I'm just on that frequency. You know what I'm saying? So he wrote a whole book about this, but part of that book, he included kind of like an assessment, okay? And now we got to be careful with things like this, personality assessments, all of that stuff. Even this included, this is not a personality assessment per se, but helpful tools, but they are not things that put you in a box and say, this is who you are, right? Okay. But they can be helpful in helping sometimes to put words to things that maybe we haven't before. And also understanding the variety of people around us sometimes and how, man, why is so-and-so, why are they just always want to do this? And it's like, I just don't get it. This kind of sheds some light on some of those dynamics sometimes. So I actually have, if Sarah or Peter, if one of you would maybe just hand these out. And now for the kids, if any of the kids, you guys are welcome to try and work through and do this. But if it feels like a lot to read all of the words and doing the numbers, this may not be something you've really done before. So for the kids, like the Lucy, Landon, Cohen, for you guys, as we kind of think through this, and you're welcome to grab a sheet too if you want to have it and look at it. I want you to think about, where do you feel the most loved? Where do you feel the most loved and or even happy or joyful or safe? I want you to think about things like that. Where do you feel loved and safe and happy? Deep, deep down. And that's going to tell you something about where you really feel the love of God in your life. So you can think about that too. Oh, and we have pens in the back. Thanks to John, who's got all the things. So if you don't have something to write with, John is going to be able to hook you up. It may take us 10 or 15 minutes to get through this. I'm going to go back through it again myself just to kind of gauge the time. Oh, yeah, I'll take one too, John. Thanks, man. And feel free, John. Maybe if you want to just slide that music slider up, we'll just have some ambient noise there with that. And we'll chat about this for a little bit when we finish it. All right, John, we can probably pull that music fader down. And let me just read through these descriptions here on these different pathways or temperaments. And you all saw there that paragraph at the end. The highest number of points possible is 30. The higher your score, the stronger the dominance of this spiritual temperament in your life. But most of us have more than one. Any score of 15 or higher indicates a tendency toward this temperament. The idea is not to like be locked into like, this is, you know, who I am, or this is everything, or this is the most important thing that everybody, you know, needs to do. This is about, man, in my relationship with God, what am I doing when I really am just in tune with the Spirit and with God. So the naturalist draws near to God through nature. Sensates draw near to God through the senses. I'm just reading the descriptions here on that last page. Traditionalists draw near to God through ritual and symbol. Activists draw near to God through bringing about social change. Ascetics draw near to God through solitude and simplicity. Caregivers draw near to God through caring for and serving others. Enthusiasts draw near to God through celebration and mystery, worship. Intellectuals draw near to God through their minds. And contemplatives draw near to God through personal adoration and heartfelt devotion. So, no surprise probably for me, both times I've taken this, my top two are intellectual and solitude. It's like 30 and 29. And the numbers have been slightly different between the first and second time I've taken this. But it's like, man, it's not a surprise. It's not a secret, even for me taking this. But it's just a reminder, like, oh, this is genuinely, it's not just a personal thing that I enjoy. I genuinely feel like I am connecting with God when I am studying and reading and learning new little nuances of who God is and what he's done and what he's doing and all of these things and communicating it with others. And sometimes, even in my preaching, sometimes in homiletics and preaching, people will talk about preaching with your head versus preaching with your heart. And I've never been able to understand that. Because for me, when I'm preaching from my head, and I'm diving into something that's like academic, or we're talking about historical, cultural context, you know, that is me preaching from my heart. That is the deepest thing in my heart is, man, we need to understand these details. They're so important. And sometimes you might be like, what does this have to do with anything, right? And that's okay. And that also means sometimes I need to understand, like, some people need something else sometimes, right? And that's okay. But it's just funny. And then right behind those for me, again, are naturalist and contemplative. So that's like all in this quadrant, right? Solitude, academic, contemplative, naturalist. I am so happy. If I never had to get up in front of a crowd ever again, or like talk to people on a Sunday morning, or see people, like all of that, all of those things are like the Spirit of God working through me, okay? That's not how I'm just naturally what's energizing to me. It's just the work of God and how he's brought me to use me in these ways, okay? It's fun to think about. But what about you guys? Who would be intrigued? Or I could just go through the list and say, like, who scored highest on the naturalist or whatever, but I'll give you the opportunity to just share however you want to. But who wants to share? What was your highest one or two temperaments on the list, and how does that affect the way you might lean into how you intentionally connect with God already, or how you may need to think intentionally about that with this information?
My two highest were enthusiast and intellectual.
Wow.
So it's interesting because I grew up in a Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
Where everything was like emotion based. And then, like, when I got to college, I started like diving deep into theology and like learning so much about who God was outside of like my emotion. Mm.
The buff apologist, right?
What does the Bible actually say? For those types of things, I'm very like, I feel like emotionally moved when I hear things like that. That kind of speaks up. Yes, that is true. That is what God intended. So.
Yeah. That's really good. And you just kind of touched on a potential practice, right? I know, even listening to a podcast, right? done intentionally, that can be something that is actually life-giving and putting you in a posture of worship and reflection on who God is, right? Is that kind of how you sense when you're, you kind of describe it like that? It's really good. Anybody else? Peter.
I feel like it wasn't too surprising for me, but my highest was naturalist.
Yeah.
And I had
naturalist.
Naturalist with Evan, and I had no tendency towards activist or caregiver.
Like zero?
Zero.
I love that. Yeah.
Which is, I think that's kind of, I tend to be the, like kind of whatever, I kind of like everything.
Uh-huh.
But and the other thing that I thought was interesting was, in general, like, the, I was, like, kind of ranking higher, in the kind of areas where I was ranking higher, there was always a question about, like, the book, and so if I was kind of ranking higher,
oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like, oh, a book? Yeah, I'll read that book. That's really cool. But your highest was definitively naturalist, drawing near to God through nature. Maybe the only one in our church with an operational garden, food garden, on his property, right? That makes sense. Who else? You guys are having a good conversation over here. Bring us into it. Come on. Yes. Perfect. Okay. The doctor. Yeah. Or just work on people like while they're in a coma and can't talk to you. Can't ask you any questions. Yeah. Yep. That's good. And so you're the opposite would be. Yeah, the sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Great. It's good. Who else? Sarah, yes.
I was laughing because Peter said his lowest two were activist and caregiver, and those were my highest.
Mm.
We balance each other out.
Yes.
Closely followed by naturalists. So that has commonality.
Yes.
But the naturalist and solitude and intellectual were all pretty equal.
Yeah. Yes, there's definitely some overlap with a lot of these, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would have tweaked some of the questions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. There's limits to how precise some of these can be sometimes, or how quickly a publisher was like, let's put a thing together so that we can put it in a book, you know? And they're like, what questions would be good, you know? Who knows what that looked like? That's good, 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 good. Activist, caregiver. Love that. Anybody else? What about you, Megan? Oh, John. Well, I was going to ask Megan. Then Megan, then John. We'll do the whole yo household together. John, then. Yeah, we'll do John, then Megan. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It is interesting. I was thinking about a question that like really piqued my interest. Like under activists, it said, "Would you rather stay in the rain for an hour?" And I was like, "You could put anything." Like,
yeah. Uh-huh. Helping somebody. The excitement of it, yeah. The experience. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, how about you, Megan? Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
But like when I think about caregiving, like not so much these days, but like when I was working as a nurse, it's like this opportunity to like as you're working practice, like seeing people made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's right there in front of them.
Yeah.
Despite whatever condition.
Yeah. Really good stuff. So really the next piece to connect this, and probably won't go through and like make you decide or conclude on this. I mean, we kind of alluded to a couple little things. Some of these lend themselves maybe a little bit more easily to when we think about like those downstream practices and thinking of ways to intentionally like incorporate this into our lives in some way. Sometimes it may not involve doing something new. It could just involve bringing in some new perspective or meaning to something you already do and seeing that, okay, well, actually kind of connecting that dot, this is actually a way for me to commune with God and be aware of his presence as I do fill in the blank. Again, it may be something you already do, but just never really connected it to, man, this is me really connecting with God in this moment. And experiencing his presence and his goodness, not just for me, but even through me. Again, something like caregiving is more naturally like the through me, or easier to sense that. Something like solitude, not as much, right? But looking for those connections, I hope you'll take some time to reflect on that, think about that. Again, this is just a resource. It's just a tool. It's not the answer to all things spiritual formation, but it's just, I think it's one of those things. More and more, I feel like pastoring and teaching in 2025 is less about like having all the answers. And it's kind of like, I feel sometimes like I'm a curator of good things. I'm trying to just like put before us some good things that are going to be helpful and life-giving and keep us moving in the right direction, rooted in the gospel. This is one of those, just a tool in our toolbox that can help us orient our souls to the goodness of God, the truths of the gospel, and be more and more formed into the image of Christ. So hope that's encouraging. I'm going to close this in prayer for the morning. And we'll tear down just out here. We'll be able to leave the kids area set up through the week here, but let's pray. Father, we come before you and we're just grateful, or again, even just for the good news that we sang about your faithfulness, your steadfast love, and that we can make a joyful noise no matter what is going on around us or inside of us. We have a hope that is sure. We have an anchor for our souls that is fixed and unmoving. That's as good as done. Everything you're doing, we can live in light of a reality and a truth that is unwavering. No matter what is going on in our lives or around us or in our culture, in our community, we can live rooted lives with hearts that are saturated in the good news of your love for us, that you laid down your life for us so that we could live and enjoy you and experience something that nothing in this world can rival. That you are making all things new. And we get to be a part of that. You're forming us into the people that you've designed and called us to be. People who are one degree at a time being molded and formed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Let us continue to just take our next step in leaning into that in the week ahead. And as a church, in the weeks and months ahead, we entrust all things to you. That's the only thing that we can do. And we just are grateful to be able to live in light of that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.